Good. I love it. Fire did a good job with that. Appreciate it.
Very much.
Luke chapter 15 is where we'll be in the Bible today. Let's see what I'm about today. Carpenter's class had a good time yesterday. We got to go to those who had schedule allowed for it, and they had completed all the different things for a little contest type thing they've been doing in the class. They got to go. Played a type of golf they have down in just outside of Logan there, and it's called Park Golf. I guess there's one in Buffalo, New York, and one here, of all places. And he describes it as an oversized, like a big driver, and big oversized ball instead of a golf ball. They just go out there, and from what I can tell, they just beat the fire out of it. And they played 9 holes. Someone got an 80-something, 88 at 9 holes. So they're probably not ready for the PGA yet. And Brother Carpenter said that's because there was a 10-stroke limit, but he didn't give away who it was. So had a lot of fun. I got a picture of it with the outing, and there was one of these carved Bigfoots down there. Carved Sasquatch. Kind of look, you two look like you knew each other. You were standing right by. And I said, did you bring your friend with you? And the boys told me they did. And I said, man, he'd make a great usher. Imagine how the offerings would do after that. Luke chapter 15. Strange couple things with the message this morning. I'm going to be speaking to you on the subject of those that seek. Those that seek. 11:40 last night, Lord showed me a change up in the message. In fact, this morning, I appreciate Brother Ed's covering things with Brother Damas Jr. out of town. And I said, I got to give you a different card for what's going out on YouTube. Because I had sermons done, outline done, cards in place. There's a lot of different things going on to let people know so we get things done. And the last 3 days, with the message I had prepared to preach, I was like, I just wouldn't settle. Some of you do some preaching, know what I'm talking about. Just wouldn't settle. And it was right doctrine, and it was solid. But just wouldn't settle. And I thought, well, maybe it's the order thing. Sometimes that's it, you know, how you're laying it out. And does this make sense? And should I be giving an emphasis here? I want to know the mind of the Lord on it. And so I just, again, last night, I'm like, oh, okay. It's just not settled. I don't feel right. And so 11:40 last night, I know because I checked my clock. And then I had it out and I'm looking at it. I said, okay, Lord, what do I need to change? And the whole message for this morning just came to my mind. It's like the entire message. And I'm like, wow, okay. And then as I did that, I, in my mind, it's hard to explain this, but I'm always looking. I wonder what the application may be. You know, what needs emphasis and that sort of thing. And that's legitimate. By the way, scripturally speaking, that's legitimate. But the impression I got, I'm not hearing voices, but the impression I got was when I couldn't figure out the application was just put down what I impress you to cover and I'll take care of the application. So that's where we are. And so those that seek. Luke chapter 15 is an amazing chapter. And best known for the account of the young man that we call the prodigal son. The word prodigal means a waster, one who's made a waste of things. But we know him as the young son, the one that went away and wasted his substance and riotous living and all the things that befell that time. That's probably what's best known for. However, the entire chapter is actually Jesus teaching in response or taking a question and using it to teach, I think would probably be more accurate. Question that had been asked, and not really particularly a friendly question or observation, in verses 1 and 2. Let's look at those verses. It says, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the him there is Jesus. And so the publicans, which were a very despised group among the Jews, these were Jewish people who collected taxes for the Roman Empire. So the Jewish people really despised them. First of all, tax collectors had never been favorite people in any society. But then they were seen as people who had turned against their own nation to work for the Romans. And so the publicans and sinners, and by that, meeting people who notoriously were known for their lack of piety, their lack of fidelity to God, lack of good living. And the Bible says that the publicans and sinners came to Jesus. They drew near unto him. They didn't just casually go by. They got close to him. Look at the reason why, as is revealed in the first verse, they did that for to hear him. They weren't having a casual cookout. They came to hear what Jesus was teaching. And they were a rough-looking crew. I mean, some publicans had some money, and I'm sure they could carry themselves well. They were professional people. But they were not liked by the populace generally, and certainly not by the religious leaders. And then the others were just, it was a rough group. But they came near Jesus because they wanted to hear what Jesus had to say. Let me just insert something here. If you'll be sensible towards it as one of God's people, there is a great hunger among people to actually hear the Word of God right now. You may want to hear a bunch of religious nonsense, but when you can tell somebody, here's what the Scripture says, you will be amazed at all ages how many people are desperately in their heart or wanting to know something that's actually real and true. They're getting so much misinformation in every level of life that they want to know what's going on and that sort of thing. And so there's an appetite, and I'm seeing it just very consistently all across. Elderly people, young people, people who've been in church, people who haven't been exposed to church. And so they drew near unto him, the publicans and sinners, for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured. And so that's a cowardly thing, murmuring is. It's interesting. One of the definitions of it in the Old Testament is a sound that's made within the tents. It's part of the definition. So a lot of times murmuring is not what people will confront if they have a question. That's when they go back home and gossip and talk bad and run things down. God hates murmuring. It's a cowardly way of acting. They don't come right out and say something. They're just kind of, you know, on the side making these little comments, which is cowardly. And so what they did was the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. So that's how Luke 15 starts. Jesus is being complained against, murmured against, because he was talking to these people. And the Pharisees, of course, thought that wasn't fitting, that he would be doing that. Now, the rest of the chapter, Jesus begins to teach about that which is lost and those who seek, and the rejoicing when that which is lost is found. There are three different things that are dealt with, and we'll look at each for just a moment. One is a lost sheep. That's the first one you'll run into when he talks about it. And then he runs and talks about a lost piece of silver. This would be something to be worn. It's valuable. It may have been more in a coin shape, but it was a lost piece of silver that was part, a very important part of a lady's attire and what she was wearing. And then the last, the one that's given most of the time and the one that carries the greatest impact, is a lost son. And so this morning we're going to be looking at these, and I just want to talk to you about some things came to mind as I tried to find the mind of the Lord for our church today with this. And I was directed not towards the sheep, not towards the silver, not towards the son, but towards those who seek. And God can, and will make the application as you have a heart to receive it. Let's pray together and we'll get into the message. Father, I need your guidance now. I'm trying to be obedient to you, and it's delivery time with this. I want to do it well. May it be clear, both in the biblical context and in my enunciation, my diction. May there be nothing within my speech or delivery that would mar or detract from the truth. Father, thank you for your people. Help me to be helpful to them. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. First, those that seek, when I saw this about the sheep, it says there, and I may or may not read each passage, but look in verse 3. It says, and he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. Likewise, I say unto you, excuse me, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 90 and 9 just persons, which need no repentance. And those that seek, in the part of the parable where he talked about the sheep, here's what came to my thoughts with this. First of all, the one who was seeking was not satisfied with one missing. They weren't satisfied to say, well, I've got 90 and 9, that's pretty good. 99 percentage is pretty good in any field. They were not satisfied when one was missing. There was no rest. We're not happy with that. They didn't count it as an acceptable loss. They said, no, they're all my sheep, and I want all my sheep. And so one's missing, and that matters. We need to make sure that if one's missing, it matters to us. And so I saw that. Then I saw that he put forth the effort to go and find them. He didn't stand in the midst of the other 99 and say, here, sheep, 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 however you call sheep. And he didn't do that. He didn't just wait and say, well, it'll come back when it gets hungry. It'll come back. He went and looked for it. He realized the same thing that took the sheep out of the flock and the same thing that caused it to wander and the same proclivity within that animal that would cause it to go where it shouldn't be going could keep leading it further and further and further into destruction and farther away. And so he wasn't satisfied just to sit by and hope that something worked out. He went after it. And he said, I'm going to take steps to get the sheep that was lost. He searched till it was found. He searched till contact was made. He searched till there was some kind of contact. There was some type of a thing, satisfaction with that. Then I saw this. He bore it back home. He shouldered the burden. The sheep did not walk back. He didn't put a leash on the sheep and bring the sheep back. He put the sheep on his shoulders. There's a whole lot I got in that. But what I'm supposed to tell you this morning is the fact that sometimes when we're seeking sheep, sometimes we've got to carry them a little while. And he put him on his shoulder and came back in. He's seeking the sheep. Why? Because it was important to him. Hey, well, man, he had 99. A lot of people didn't have that many sheep. Well, but one of his was gone. I love what it tells me about the heart of our Heavenly Father, too. You think about Jesus telling us. Think about what it tells us about him pointing this out. He was saying to him, I'm not satisfied any of y'all be lost. We got a pretty good percentage, you know. Pretty good percentage of the people who attend our church are saved. Nah, that's not enough. We want all. Pretty good percentage of those we want to get to. Pretty good percentage of my family has heard the gospel. That's not enough. Let's go for 100% here. Why? Let's not be satisfied with any left out. And then the second one is a piece of silver. If you will, look at the verse there. This one, beginning in verse 8. It says, either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. By the way, she didn't lose something in the wilderness. She lost it in her house. And I looked at that and I got to think about this. And I thought about this lady who this piece of silver, which was important to her, it's gone. If any of you ever looked down and saw a precious stone, maybe a diamond or something, was missing out of a piece of jewelry? Anybody ever had that experience before? Have you? Is that a bad feeling or what? Was it in a wedding set and that? Yeah. And then you found out you got to get that replaced. Huh? Isn't that bad? Was it worse when you went to the jeweler and they said, those aren't really diamonds, they're just cubic zirconia? Anyway, but that's a bad feeling. My wife, of course, does cleaning and stuff, so she's always checking hers. And occasionally, there's a place we do business with in town, and she'll go in there and say, can you check the prongs? Why? She doesn't want them going. She's got things in there that were, I think, her grandmother's and stuff now with some she has. And so she's checking that. Can you imagine this lady? How did you feel when you knew it was missing? Was that a happy feeling? Did you go looking for it? Yeah, you wanted to know where it was, or knew maybe it was a lost cause, whatever it happened, that's missing. Something like that. You lost your wedding band, didn't you? You didn't lose a woman, so you're doing all right, bud. That was less than a year after you got married? Pardon?
Yeah, a little less
than a year. And I was going to try to be hero dad, and I went and got, I did. I don't know if you knew this. I went and actually rented me a big old, one of the real good, you know, metal finders. And I was going to go over there and find it. I did. I went over, took time. Then I found out it was carbon fiber and wood. And well, she was searching for her own piece of silver. That's trouble and treasure. Search for somebody else's doesn't work out. And so she had lost this piece of silver. And here's the thoughts I had with that. First of all, she turned up the light. Something was missing. She turned up the light. That just kept coming to my mind. I thought, okay, Lord, turn up the light. And he said, just tell him to turn up the light. Got something missing you're trying to find, turn up the light. I don't know how it all applies. I'm not going to try to make an illustration. I'm just to tell you this morning, turn up the light. Get it brighter. I don't know how it applies. You figure it out. I just got the sermon. It was 12 o'clock. You can do it to work from here. Turn up the light. Turn up the light. Get it brighter. Get more light on what you're doing. Turn up the light. Second thing was, get your house in order. Notice what she did. She swept her house. She got it together. You're seeking? For those who seek, here's the word for you. Get your house in order. I don't know what you're seeking. Get your house in order. God wants to answer you when you're seeking. Get your house in order first. Get what you have together, and then God will be able to help you with everything else. Get your house in order. This piece of silver could have been under something. It could have been behind something. It could have been covered over with some dust where it hit the ground. You know how things are. They'll fall and they bounce. You ever drop a screw or something you're working with, and I swear to goodness, 10 yards from where you started. I didn't know how it got over there. You don't know how it did it. Clean it up. If you're seeking, get rid of the mess. Get rid of the chaos. Get some order. Decently and in order. Get the thing going. Clean up the house. Turn up the light. Clean up the house. Third thing, search with diligence. Imagine she had a little pattern to what she did. Imagine she went looking for it. I was looking, I've looked for things. I mentioned looking for that ring. I put a grid pattern down to where it would have likely been. Started at the closest in place, which was at the playground, and went out from there. And I did a grid pattern to make sure I wasn't missing an area. It didn't matter, but I was doing it. It's a smart way of doing it. And so the do it with diligence. Don't just slam at it and hope something happens. Don't just go at, hey, those that seek, I don't know who you are or who all you are, but someone here is those that seek. I don't know what it is you're seeking, but go at it with diligence. Turn up the light. Clean up the house. Go at it with diligence. And then don't be satisfied with not finding. Just probably was on a head type thing. And she didn't say, well, I'll just rearrange them and space the other ones right, and then it won't look strange. She said, no, this is missing. Don't be satisfied with not finding. Even if the search appears to be long. And then the sun. I think most of you, be under the sound of my voice, know that account pretty well. You know how the younger son, and he demanded of his father that he would divide the inheritance, forced his father into a distribution situation where he paid out to the older son and the younger son. And then he went and took all his father's living, because that boy hadn't built any of that. That was his father's life he was wasting. And he said, well, he worked on the farm. He didn't have a farm to work on without the dad. And he took that out far country, didn't he? Just wasted it. Boy, news about that, got back to the farm, what was going on and all that. Well, then lo and behold, the money ran out. Guess what he found out in that far country? He was popular as long as there was money. He was popular as long as he could. The guy, hey, man, I'll stand for this. We'll do this. He didn't have it. They didn't care. Then he got down so bad, remember that? The famine hits the country. He ends up going for a hog farmer. Think about Jesus telling this to the Jewish people, the Pharisees. Tell you how bad this boy got. Think about that. He's telling that to the Pharisees. Look how bad this boy got. He's working on a hog farm. It gets worse. He's trying to eat the hog food. He's looking at it saying, well, it's something anyway. Nah, bad news. And then in the midst of that, you know what happened? He asked himself a question. He said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? He said, and I, hungry, dying of hunger. And he said, I know what I'll do. He said, I'll go back to my father and I'll say, I've sinned against heaven and against thee and before thee, and I'm not worthy to be called your son. Just make me a hired servant. He said, I'll just go back and apply for a job. My dad's the best boss I ever saw. He didn't treat people like this. And boy, I sure did think he had some restrictions on me. But nothing is so restrictive as the end of the road of sin. It's a broad way. That's true. And you'll feel a lot of freedom in the middle of it. But it has a dead end. And he, oh man, you remember what happened then? Right in the middle of the hog pen, he came to himself. What a place to meet yourself. So he leaves that hog pen and heads back home. Of course, his father saw him when he was a long way off. He had a great way off. His dad saw him coming. Ran, hugged his neck, told him he loved him. Came back, identified with him, put his arm around him. This is my son. Had a big old get-together. Of course, the older brother got upset over that, and the dad had to deal with him too and didn't rebuke him. And the older brother wasn't the father, and the father didn't expect the older brother to be himself and or to see things with the same maturity or the same angle. And the older brother needed him right then too. And the father showed himself to be a good father for the one that stayed and the one that left. Here's some things about those that seek. Have a home worth coming back to. You know why that old boy in the middle of that hog pen thought about going home? Because home was somewhere worth going to. That's what he'd been raised with. Have a home worth coming back to. I wish I had something I could tell you on the authority of the Word of God and say, here, church people that I love, if you do this, this, and this as parents, you'll never ever have a child that chooses the way of the world that'll never know. They'll never step out and carry scars that sin brings, and you'll never know what that heartache and the breaking of the heart feels for them when you see them making decisions that you know are so costly. And here, if you just do this, this, and this, and you follow just this formula, that you'll guarantee that'll never happen. I wish I had something like that for you based on the authority of the Word of God, but I don't. What I have is truth to teach you. And I have a sober reality that those little ones that you love and those young ones and those teens and those adults that are your children that you love are people that God has equipped with the capacity to reason and will, and they can exercise that will. But I can tell you, on the authority of the Word of God, there should be a home that was worth having. That you can do. Have a home worth having. Make it a place of God. Not just religion, but of God. Have something more than just a plaque hanging on the wall about it. God should be a part of everything. I got amused in a pleasant way this week. I was talking to my pastor, Brother Jeff Nickel, and we were talking about some things, and I recounted in my class this morning, he's getting ready to go back over to Africa again in June, but we were talking about other things and led up to that eventually. But he and his wife had went to the Grand Canyon, and they went and saw some things, and he said he had seen the Grand Canyon before, but I guess the southern end, is that right, is the more huge or whatever. Anyway, wherever he'd been before, he said, I went back where they went this time. He said, it's just unbelievable. And he said, we were standing there, and you've met him some, but this is very characteristic of his personality. He says, we were standing there looking over that, and he says, just take your breath away. And he says, I nudged Carla, and she said, what? And he said, I know the guy who made that. I thought it was great. And you did. Make your house a place of God where it's real, where it's not stilted, where it isn't just a tacked up set of things you do. And I'm for discipline and such, you know, on the refrigerator, you have your do's and don'ts. Make sure God's in that house. Make it a place of God. Make it a place of love and understanding what that is. Make it a place of predictability. Don't let your children have to be always wondering what parent they're going to encounter that day. What dad are they going to encounter that day? What mom are they going to encounter that day? Let there be some kind of stability and predictability. You say, well, preacher, I don't always feel that way. Well, grow up. You've got children. Grow up and be the adult. Wander around and put stuff on your children's shoulders. They have no business bearing. They're children. You're the adult. It's time somebody looked you in the eyes and loves you and tells you, grow up and be an adult. Say, well, I heard. Well, get over it. Well, I didn't get over it. Grow up. Why? Because there's some people depending on you. There's lives that you're either brought into this world or you're in charge of that you are influencing. Let it be a place of predictability. Oh, you're going to have times where you're up and times when you're down, but they should be never wondering, which dad am I going to see today? Which mom am I going to see today? No, preacher, I have a serious problem with that. All right. Well, if you'll admit it and start working on it, God will help you with it. And if you'll seriously work on it and ask Him wisdom, He can help you find out what all areas you need to address in it. Are your areas primarily spiritual? Do you have a physical situation you need to explore and get under control? What do you have going on? That ever occurred to you? God will help you. It's God's will that you do that, that He gave you those children. He wants you to be a parent for them. Seek God on it. But for goodness sake, quit burdening down children with the things that adults are for. They're not equipped for that yet. Make home a predictable place. You see how predictable that boy thought home was? He said, I know this about Dad. Tell you one thing about Dad. Dad's treating his servants good. He didn't wonder. I don't know how long he'd been gone. It doesn't tell us how long he'd been gone. But he didn't say, I wonder if Dad's still doing what Dad did. I wonder if Dad's, you know, if he's still like you. He didn't even think about that. It's like, tell you how he's always been. I've watched him all the way. May have been times I was upset at him. Dad just seemed like, you know, kind of a throwback and a little bit of a hard head. And he's too old school and all that stuff. But I'm going to tell you what, you could count. There was something solid there. Yeah, maybe those other things had something to do with it. Have a home worth coming back to. And then keep looking down the road. For those who see, keep looking down the road. That father saw him when he was a great way off. That wasn't by accident. You know why? He's checking that road. He's checking that road to see if he's coming back. I believe that. I absolutely believe it. I believe he got up and looked out. He thought, I wonder if this would be the day. He never gave up. He's looking down the road. And you keep looking down the road, it'll keep your heart tender when they do show up on the horizon. Absolutely. You keep looking down the road. You don't try to just, well, I'm just going to seek my own closure and dismiss them and act like they weren't there. Oh, no, no, that's not the heart of God. You keep looking down that road. You say, well, it hurts every time I look down the road. Then hurt. See, I cry when I look down the road. Then cry. Let something that real break your heart. But keep looking down the road. Keep looking down the road. Keep looking down the road. Then, not only have a home that's worth coming back to, but keep a home that's worth coming back to. Now, the boy grew up in a home that he looked back and said, you know what? Oh, my goodness. Now I've seen this other stuff. I'll just go see if I can get it. Job with my dad. I just want to be there. But when he came back, it wasn't in shambles. Keep a home worth coming back to. Here's a statement. Don't let your home decay because of the sorrow of the loss. That'll take some doing. Don't let your home decay because of the sorrow of the loss. Keep it. So how do you do that? Keep your focus right. You've got to attend to your personal walk. And you've got to attend to the basics of your faith in Christ. You've got to attend to your own health, your own strength. You've got to attend to these things. Take care of them. Pay attention to them. Why? Because that home has to be worth coming back to when they come back. Can't be in shambles. Can't have that boy running up, that girl running up, knocking on the door, no one's there, coming in, and everything's changed, and mom and dad are gone, and they dropped out of church, and they don't believe what they used to believe, and the Bible sits on the shelf with dust on it, and no longer doing what they ought to do. I'm going to tell you, in the midst of the hurt, of the sorrow, of the loss, stay focused on the one you follow. I'm talking to those who seek. Then run to meet them. Run to meet them. He did, man. He saw him coming. He didn't stand back. Well, tell you what, he gets here. That's what I'm talking. And he saw him. Now, it doesn't say this in the scripture, but I think the first thing the dad said was, "Woo! Look at that! Coming down the road!" He took off. Run to meet him. Run to meet him. Run to meet him. Don't inhibit your love because your feelings have been hurt. Don't inhibit your love because your dreams have been broken. Don't inhibit your love because you're uncertain of the future. Run to meet them. Run to meet them. And then, let everyone know they're your son. This my son. This my son. We knew what he did, yeah? This my son. He ain't been down in there in a hog pen. And we knew. Do you know what he was doing 6 months ago? Do you know what he was doing a year ago? This my son. That's what God did for you, my friend. That's what he did for me. The God of heaven put his arm around us. Now you think about that, how unworthy we are. He put his arm around us and he said, "This my child, this one's mine. I claim this one." There's not one of us has made God look good. This my son. Identify with him. Say, "Well, I don't agree with what they did." I didn't say identify with their sin. I said identify them as yours. May God give you maturity to find that scriptural levelness of doing things that way. I didn't say identify with the sin. He wasn't supposed to identify with that hog pen, that old harlot life, and that old nonsense going on down there. There wasn't a thing about that dad was supposed to be okay with. But you know who that was coming up that road? You know who that was? That wasn't hog pen coming up the road. That wasn't wasting his life in harlots coming up the road. That wasn't, he'd wasted everything the dad had worked for coming up the road. You know who that was coming up that road? That was his son coming up the road. Run to meet him. Identify with him. And then, I love this. Each one, the one with the lost sheep, the one with the lost silver, the one with the lost son, each one, after recovering what they'd lost, they wanted someone to share in the joy and rejoice with them what God had done. Man, they went immediately to tell somebody else, "This is the greatest thing there ever was." Now, there wasn't anybody else felt the same way about that sheep. And there wasn't anybody else felt that way about that silver. And there wasn't even anybody else who felt that way about that son. But the fellow with the sheep felt that way about the sheep. And the lady with the silver felt that way about the silver. And the father felt that way about the son. And I'm glad in every instance we're indicated there that they had some people around them that were willing to rejoice in the fact that there was something blessed that happened in their life. And I'm going to tell you what. Let's just decide to be a cheering section for those that seek. And let's be a cheering section for those that are recovered. Help them get back where they ought to be. That's what I'm supposed to give you. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the guidance it gives, how it works in our hearts. Do now in the heart of the people that which you had designed. Please, Lord. Stand together, please. Are you a seeker or being sought this morning? If you don't have the Savior, you're one being sought. The Holy Spirit of God's seeking you. If you're a Christian living outside of what you know to be the revealed will of God in the Word of God, and just doing your own thing, that's a code word for disobedience, you have someone seeking you. The Lord's the one to follow. Why don't you turn back to Him? You just to renew that relationship and get things the way they ought to be. A song invitation. You need to come this morning. Why don't you please?